Good evening and welcome to the Raucous Caucus, live now. Live at Ben's Next Door. Next door to Ben's Chili Bowl, 12th and June. Mark, Terry, and Garland, three minds linked and locked in analysis, wit, and sagacity. Every Tuesday night, live. Live right here, 7 p.m. WPFW 89.3 FM. Welcome again, live with Terry, Mark, and Garland, and the Raucous Caucus.
Good evening. Whoa, man. Good evening and welcome to another edition of the Raucous Caucus. My name's Garland Nixon and I'm here with
Mark Levine
and
Terry D. Cassidy.
And
get scared to hell.
And
I'm
our
not ready.
Special
sorry.
Guest host, Mr.
Perry Red.
Oh, is he? What?
Perry Red.
How did he get in here?
You notice the special ghost? Special guest host.
Oh, okay.
Terry, tell us about our special guest
Mark's
host.
Mark's going to tell us Mark's how he got in here.
Well,
then I'll tell
Perry
you.
Perry Red paid for this microphone and said,
that's right. So you guys shut up and give him the mic.
Said, Perry Red gave a generous gift to WPFW, and he took us up on our offer to not only be on the show with us, but to come up with a topic of his own, forcing us to discuss his topic on his terms. We may well disagree with him, but I got to tell you, Perry, you have a lot of courage to come in here in the middle of
you
three
do.
Very loud, raucous,
obnoxious,
right,
belligerent.
You don't hear my knees knocking, but you know what?
Oh, wait, but first, right. Wait a minute. Make sure I got to tell you. Listen, you can join us. We're right here at Ben's Next Door, 1213 U Street, right next to Ben's Chili Bowl.
Yep.
We're going to be here till 8 o'clock, 89.3 FM WPFW here in Washington, D.C. Come on down and join us. There's half smokes, there's drinks, there's Terry. He's an intoxicating individual.
You
don't even need a drink.
So, and we gotta thank all the listeners who have joined us in the pledge drive.
Yes, we had a tremendous showing
Perry
last week.
Especially Barbara right here.
We really did. A lot of people were very generous.
Yeah, and
it's
Bulldogs support.
Caucus.
Yep.
And listen, I know a lot of you do listen to us. I hear from people all the time that say they listen every Tuesday. Come by. Here's your chance to actually meet us. Come up to 1213 U Street to have a drink and have a nice meal and come meet not just Terry Garland and me, but our wonderful guest host tonight, Perry Red.
Well,
Perry.
I'll say that that's the thing that motivated me to give. I came over to Ben's Next Door.
Uh-huh.
I met you guys. I got to see you guys.
Uh-huh.
There you go.
I've been hearing you on the radio, and I said, you know what? This is worthy of coming out of my pocket.
All right.
Hey, and we didn't pay him to say that.
That's
no,
right.
That's
no,
what's
no,
phenomenal.
No, you can.
Yeah.
No, he paid us to say that, which is even weirder.
Okay. Also, got to thank all the people that gave. We did a special show Monday morning on economics and on the deficit situation. And I really, really want to thank. We had a tremendous response, absolutely tremendous response, and particularly to the issue of closing down
the Center for Public Broadcasting, mm-hmm.
the Center of Corporation for Public Ouch. Broadcasting, right. PBS, NPR, and WPFW, and the Corporation of Public Broadcasting, mm-hmm. and the threat. And the response we got to that show was phenomenal. So I really, really, really got to
thank you. Why don't you introduce our host
today, I'll do
that.
Today, I'll do that.
Terry,
I got this.
We don't want to use up all this time.
I got this brilliant piece of paper here. And
tell us about Perry Red.
It's written by Perry himself, so it can't be a bad. Perry Red and Barbara Patterson gave generously to WPFW annually. Give generously. And thus they won the opportunity to be guests on tonight's broadcast. Perry is a longtime activist and community organizer. He is the executive director and co-founder of Sincere 7, a nonprofit workers' rights anti-racism advocacy. Perry hosts and produces the internet radio talk show Socially Speaking and is a weekly columnist with the Black Commentator. He is a three-decade ASCAP, that's ASCAP, in case you didn't know, licensed singer-songwriter with over 2,000 compositions. I brought my harmonica. We're going to play.
I'm just going to say, can we ask him to sing for us tonight? Is that part of the bargain?
And it goes on. It's even better. He's got 2,000 compositions to his credit, including the newly released Social Change CD, Trial by Fire, which chronicles his walk through the federal prison system. A book by the same title is due out by the fall. It's a privilege to have you here,
Barry.
A true
intellectual after dealing with these two clowns.
Oh,
so, Perry, what are we going to
do? A welcome change.
What are we going to discuss tonight?
Well,
Perry?
I wanted to hear the genius in this city on the topic of President Obama's chances for re-election.
We better hope somebody comes in here. You want to hear the genius in this
city. Okay, and you know, we are taking bets and money tonight, so if you want to lay odds.
I've won two with Perry so with Terry so far.
And you've got what, $2?
I got $2. I have $2 richer.
Yeah, use it to
You're
buy
just lucky I don't bet more with you, Terry.
Use it to buy a tire, will you, kid?
Yeah, right.
All I need is a bit more than that.
Okay, Perry.
I want to get some pictures of that tire change. Yeah. Now, it's clear to me that the conservatives, and I may be wrong, but I'm usually right, that the conservatives are attacking President Obama for his position. Any position. Yeah, doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
They know when he takes their position. They attack him for it. Yeah.
Now, they don't need substance. Those on the left, it appears, they do need substance. Obama has shifted himself so far to the right that he's unrecognizable from the guy who ran in 2008, at least the one I remember. So, conspiracy theorists, they believe that there's no difference between the right and the left. I hear people say it all the time. No difference between Democrats and Republicans. I beg to differ. There is a difference. And what I learned is that the people who I organize around, the people who I live around, are affected by the differences when the right is in control of the agenda as opposed to the left when it's in control of the agenda. So I have my top 10 reasons why President Obama will not win re-election in 2012.
Really? You're predicting, you're betting against
it? It's up to you to be the devil's advocate.
All right.
Okay? And you can give me all the reasons in the world why he will win, but I'm saying that he won't. And my number one reason is this, just the recent issue in Egypt. It takes too long to decide between democracy and stability.
He's a little slow in Libya right now, too.
Funny how that happens.
He needs to just be on the people's side.
Come on, they got a lot of oil. We got to remember, we love our oil. They got a lot. Obama loves oil.
What's wrong with a democracy giving us oil instead of Muammar Gaddafi?
But anyway,
go ahead.
That way.
Okay.
I'm just wondering. I mean, okay, just keep that on.
You're right.
Number nine. Obama okayed the second tax amnesty offshore, that offshore bill that allows these folks who take the money from our economy
and
offshore
our
and hoard it over there.
Yep.
Okay? He okayed that.
Most people are sitting around thinking, well, you know, is this the kind of guy I would have a beer with?
Unfortunately. I think you gave 330 million beer summits, and folks will agree with that. Number seven, he capitulated.
Obama seems to be more like a wine guy than a beer guy anyway.
Arugula, right?
Don't you see him sipping Chardonnay more than having the Pabst Blue Ribbon?
Yeah.
I mean, this is no insult to him.
You can't play hoops and drink wine. I mean, that's absurd.
I'll grant you that. He does play hoops.
He capitulated to the Republicans on Fannie and Freddie.
Yep,
I'm really, really bent about and the tax cut deal with the Republicans without consulting with the Democrats. Number six, he brought in Jeffrey Immelt William Daley. Jeffrey Immelt from GE.
Yeah, from General Electric,
and
CEO.
Daley from Goldman Sachs brought them into the administration.
Money.
Again, we can't recognize this guy who said that we will not allow big business to run over the little guy. At least that's the reason why I campaigned for him, right?
Can I make a quick statement?
No, he's got to get through all 10. Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
Number five, he failed to close Guantanamo. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think it's still open. I haven't seen the sign lately. Number four, he hasn't ended Iraq. It sounds like it. We've ended combat operations, right? And we still got troops over there. Number three, he keeps moving the goalposts on Afghanistan.
You notice that. Raising the hoop.
Maybe it's just me, but number two, among the programs reportedly targeted in Obama's 2012 budget cuts, this deal with the energy, cutting the energy program, where you provide energy for folks who can least afford it.
Right, low
income. Well, they're poor and they're old, so why provide energy for them?
No one needs heat.
Right. No, I mean, they're not going to be able to mobilize. Come on.
And my number one reason for giving the prediction Obama will not win re-election is that he has not enacted, well, I won't say a single, but I feel that way, but only one legislation that has impacted African Americans, of which I am one. And it's important because the vote of the minority helped Obama win that 54% when he beat John McCain. And if you don't win it this time, if they sit on their hands, because they will, and he's, I've just given you 9 reasons why, then he will not win re-election.
Okay, I got something to say here. Let me throw a monkey wrench in the program.
Yep.
Okay.
A monkey
wrench. Yeah. Okay. If I were to say, will Mark Levine win a 100-yard dash tomorrow?
Depends who
the
I'm running.
The first question you would ask
if he changes a tire.
Who's he racing?
Exactly.
So before we determine whether or not Barack Obama is going to win. See, I was talking to someone the other day, a friend of mine who's a lobbyist, and she was saying, oh, gosh, you know.
You hang out with lobbyists?
Yeah.
And you're allowed to be on this show?
Well, she said,
wait a minute, so she's the general manager down
here. Lamenting the Democrats, the Democrats' chances in Obama's. And I said, there's only one, there's issues in the Democratic Party, but there's one thing on their favor. The Republicans are screwed up way worse. Number one, their party is more screwed up. But number two, look at Wisconsin. They will do. They will see what happens is this: they had gone so far to the right that when I go to vote and I look at somebody that's going to wipe out the unions and I look at what the Republicans are going to do, Terry can run.
Thank you.
I'm voting for him.
I'm announcing tonight. I am running.
They're demonstrating that the alternative is so extreme that when you look at what's there, if you say, "Well, I'm not voting for Obama," it's like this: I'm not going to get some of the things I want, so I'll take all of the things I don't want. That's the option.
Perry, I want to echo what Gonham said. And then I want to go at some point through this hour.
And then let's let Terry talk. Let's let Terry talk through your list,
I want to deal with them one by one.
I want to hear.
Because on some of that list, I absolutely agree with
we
you.
We need
some
a five-hour show. Okay.
And back and forth. Yeah. But overall, I just want to echo what Gonham has to say in the sense of this. Obama's disappointed me in many ways. I can't lie. It's true. I'm not going to deny it. But I think if Obama has moved to the right some, I'll accept that. The Republicans have moved to the right far, far,
out the door.
Far
yeah,
more.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so still much moving. So.
But they won the mandate.
That today.
In November.
Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan would be considered liberals
by
their standards. They have moved so far off the deep end. I think Obama will capture the middle. I think he will win re-election. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't keep pushing him to do what he promised to do. Mm-hmm. So I'm all for your agenda, but I think that rather than phrase it in terms of Obama's re-election, it's about pushing Obama to believe. See, I don't think I really don't think he doesn't believe in the principles that when he backs away. I think he's doing it for political reasons. I think he saw what happened in the last election.
Agreed.
He's not. I don't think his heart has moved to the right. I think he's saying, I got to move to the right to protect myself.
So do you think voters are that intellectual?
Let's get some intellect in this conversation. Let me put this together
for all you guys.
Yeah,
you know?
Put it together.
Garland's got a good point, really the good point. I mean, who's going to oppose him?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we know who's going to oppose him. And you're right that most of the candidates up there now are not that dynamic, you know, that are possible candidates. That doesn't mean there aren't people out there. And that doesn't mean there won't be people arising through the debates the same way he rose, you know. I think Obama will lose. I really do. And in some ways, I think he deserves to lose. Because, more than anything else, the country is troubled and it's going to remain troubled. All it needs is a little bit more instability in the Middle East and a worse situation with the price of oil. And you're going to see instability that makes the last couple of months look like nothing. You're going to have more unemployment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Obama is not a leader. He is not a inspirer. He is not a visionary. And the people,
the people right or left
are looking for that.
In 2008, what happened?
2008 was a unique situation. He was a brilliant campaigner. There's a difference.
So why did he inspire in 2008 and fail to inspire in 2011?
Because somehow or other, that's a good question. There's a lot of reasons for it. But part of the reason, obviously, is as a president, he doesn't have the principles. He's not a man of principle and vision. And I'm not saying that as a criticism. I'm saying he's...
Sure you are.
No.
I feel criticized. I'm saying he is a man...
He has no principle or vision, but I'm not criticizing the guy.
I say no principle. He's practical, as you have already pointed out.
That is true. He is a pragmatic man.
And Garland has pointed out many times, if he would fight for some of these issues, we would be with him even if he lost.
I agree.
But to just throw up his hands and say, screw it, I'm going to give in to the Republicans. It is really turning off the support for
him. And so let me retort to your response. Your response brings this to the forefront. Number one, we have realized that the conservatives are not stupid.
No.
No.
They're evil, but they're not stupid.
Okay, we saw that with the legislation the Supreme Court decision that has tilted the scales just 180
degrees. Now we have a Wisconsin governor trying to ban unions.
Then we saw how they have won 29 governorships.
Right.
Okay? How they have 29 Republican governors in place right now.
Right.
We see that no one is on the radar who's going to run against Obama, as you brought up. But factually speaking, we know that there's a Jeb Bush in the wings.
Tim Pawlenty,
someone
John
who
Thune.
Could, Pawlenty, yeah. Or
Thune.
I would say Ryan, but Ryan's too young.
No, Ryan can't win.
Someone, yeah, he's a little bit too
far. No, because he wants to cut Social Security and Medicare. That's
one who is more moderate looking, one that looks like Obama, except for he doesn't look like Obama. And you may remember, in 2010, the conservatives said what? We come to take our country back.
Mm-hmm.
I went down to the monument, and I was down there videotaping their Take Our Country Back rally.
Yeah.
I videotaped that rally, put it on YouTube, and I got some of the meanest responses
could
ever imagine.
Oh, there's no question.
YouTube
for 2 months, sharks on YouTube. My inbox was full. And the whole point was this, that we've got our game plan together. This is how the Republicans, or how the conservatives, rather, this is how they phrase it. We got our game plan together.
That's right.
Yes, there are many on the right.
That's right.
Far right. Off the chain right. But what they do have right now is a game plan and money.
Well, let me throw something else out there, too, and talking about that, because part of the discussion is who's running against them, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I say this. One of the issues that they have is this, that the party has been tugged so far to the right. Now, we saw what happened with John McCain. John McCain had to go really far right to get elected.
He wasn't the most conservative Republican in the pack.
But he had to play.
He is now.
Right. And he's going to stretch back in
so
place.
Now,
but he wasn't then.
And the party is even tacked further to the right. I would argue that it's getting to the point in the Republican Party that it's kind of the what was her name, Christine O'Donnell, whatever kind of issue,
the witch,
right? Whoever it is,
the ex-witch.
Whoever it is that wins is going to have to tack so far to the right to win the primary. Just think about who can win a Republican primary now. You're going to have to tack so far to the right that you're going to be way out. I mean, you're going to have a time getting back to the middle in order to get elected.
I don't know. I am worried about these Midwestern, good-looking,
you got Pence right now.
I'm not. Glenn Beck can't win.
No, you got
Tim Pawlenty, John Thune. These are people that seem innocuous. They're not. But they seem innocuous. I would even argue that the governor of Wisconsin seemed innocuous when he ran.
Then
he took power, and now he's out to destroy all the
unions. Governor McDonald seemed relatively safe until he
got out. What? In Virginia?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
What?
He seemed like a nutcase extreme.
Because Perry says the right has the money and a game plan. And they definitely have the money. I think they're splintering a little bit on the game plan. I'm hopeful about that. Let me talk about a progressive game plan. Because it seems to me that one of the reasons why unions are in trouble in Wisconsin, working people are in trouble in Wisconsin, it's not necessarily because of these whack jobs that are running the state, but because good-thinking, moderate, liberal progressives stayed home in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
They had a great senator, Senator Feingold, a true progressive leader. I can't say that about many people.
They didn't stay home when they were going to get their collective bargaining taken away.
And I would argue that they partly stayed home, Perry, and this is my concern, because of disappointment in some of the things you raise. I'm not arguing against the disappointment. I'm disappointed, too. But we've got to understand
there's
a difference between being disappointed and someone actively trying to destroy working people. And I think Wisconsin is the classic example. If you are disappointed in the Democrats, fight for the Democrats, explain the position, explain the progressive position, push Obama back to the left, push the Democrats back to the left. I'm fine with that. But don't desert us in November
It's too late. It's too late. And this is the reason why it's too late. It's too late because we're only a year and a half from 2012, number one. It's too late because the splinter thin edge in the Senate is about to crumble, especially with the recent announcements of resignations.
Well, not only that, but there's like twice as many Democrats running as Republicans. I mean, the sheer demographics of the election are going to be tough for the Democrats.
Well, okay,
it's too late for another reason, and this gets down to the core issue for me. I don't believe there is any difference between the parties right now because it's all about money.
and it's all about raising money. Obama's office has already...
Mr. Black and White, no good.
It's not black and white. It's obvious. And if the Americans don't start to see this, they're going to be in worse trouble than they've ever been. It's all about money. Obama has already made it clear. His office has already made it clear. Their goal is to raise $1 billion.
That's what they're going to need to win.
There's
no question.
He has to.
Right.
He has
and as long as that is the goal.
That's our system, Terry.
But even if that's
the
goal,
why
the Koch brothers
change.
The Koch brothers not drop a billion.
ExxonMobil
can drop 10 billion.
ExxonMobil.
That's
part of, the reason that the progressives no longer believe in the Democrats is because the Democrats themselves know they are compromised. They will talk a good talk. They will pretend to support
and they will do some good things.
And they will push something through knowing full well that it won't be funded.
The health care bill, the financial bill.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They know it won't be funded. They know it won't go into effect. They know it'll be compromised.
Children's health care.
They know they can go right back to their donors and say, hey, I'm really on your side.
Yeah, but really,
they do that.
But here's the thing, and let me say this.
We are compromised to the nth degree.
Let me make a comment on that, particularly about the idea that the Democrats and the Republicans, because people say that the Democrats, there's no difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. No, let me say that. Let me say this. That's here's where how that kind of looks. It's like
they
this.
Said that about Bush
if
and Gore.
I can find five things that are similar about the Democrats and Republicans, I will ignore the 95 things that are different, and I'll say based on the five things that are the same. There's no difference. That's kind of the Glenn Beck. You know what Glenn Beck kind of his logic. Well, let's see. Hitler has a nose, and Barack Obama has a nose.
They wear
Obama
a tie.
Just like Hitler. Right. We'll ignore everything else.
And they both like trains.
When you say when you say two things, look at this. Mark, Terry, and I are all left leaning, and we are very different. So to say that there's no difference between Obama and the others is to ignore. Let me add this. If you say there's no difference between Obama, here's what you got to look at. A number of things. Who ran the SEC and all the money during the Clinton administration? Goldman Sachs. Who ran it during the Bush administration?
Goldman Sachs.
He runs it during the Obama administration? Goldman Sachs. So there are certain areas
where I don't
care who you put in. It's not Obama. I don't care who you put in.
Exactly.
You put Terry
exactly
in.
The point.
If Terry
but
didn't
Democrats
put Goldman Sachs people in charge, his plane would go down in a remote mountainous
but
area.
That is the problem. It doesn't make any difference who is in office today because the system is so screwed.
Now.
The system is so...
Unless the
Americans, and I really mean this, and starting in Wisconsin, thank God, and it's starting... in Indiana, unless Americans realize that it is a class war, that the working people, as you pointed out, Mark, are being screwed by Democrats and Republicans, unless they hit the street and demand some change, ain't going to happen.
Terry, Obama has stood up for Wisconsin. The Democrat
I'm tired. I'm tired of waiting for the Democrats to do something.
The Democrats
they haven't done something in the last 50 years.
They can't be out in Illinois.
Well, they did something in Nevada, right, when Harry Reid was on the ropes and Sharon Angle had him on the ropes. The Democrats did something. They came out, and Harry Reid is still the speaker.
I'd rather have a weak person that's taking tenuous steps in the right direction than a strong person running in the other direction.
The problem is, it doesn't matter.
But here's what I say.
Welcome to the Raucous Caucus. Right.
When you say that, if you're looking at, let's say, Obama versus, let me throw a name out there, Palin, Pawlenty, whoever, right? When you're looking to say there's no difference, here's the difference. The difference between Obama, who's not going to give me everything that I want, right? Or Palin, who's going to give me everything that I don't want. So when you say there's no difference between the person who I'm going to be disappointed because they're not going to give me everything that I want, and the person who says, disappointment is not
name
the word.
One let's thing. Let our guest host get a word.
They are going to wipe me out.
Let's let our guest host get a word in edgewise.
Let's just talk about one thing. When we talk about the difference between the two, if indeed the left was in control, if Terry says there's no difference between two, let's talk about legalized abortion. Okay? It's a law right now. It's a law. It's been a law for 30 years. But what you would get with the Republicans in place?
Oh, they try to take it out.
Repeal.
Of course.
Let's talk about health care reform. There's a difference there. And
what health care reform?
Very good. So what? There is a difference. Let's talk
don't
about...
Don't pretend that the law that passed did nothing, Jerry.
Yeah, and
it may not go far enough.
So far, it has done basically nothing.
But imagine
it. It certainly hasn't
imagine
done the things
this.
That it needs to do.
Well, it hasn't. And that is because... The ones who are obstructing and have been obstructing since 2010 or 2008 with their no compromise agenda have been successful in stalwarting everything.
And it's because Obama and the other Democrats know they can only push so far and they won't get the donations. They won't get the money and they won't push beyond
so
that.
So when
point.
I go home and tell my next door neighbor whose daughter's in college, mm-hmm. and who can still be on her health care because of the new health care. When I go home and say to her, the bill didn't do anything.
And can afford college because
the bill didn't do anything. So
the loans are cheaper.
We might as well just repeal it. Now, if we repeal it tomorrow, your daughter has no health care coverage. But the bill did nothing.
But, you're saying, you're not even looking at the whole picture. I have a friend in exactly that situation.
I would say it's the other way around.
I have a friend in exactly that same situation who's an extremely successful television producer. At the moment has started his own business, doesn't have insurance, $1,800 a month.
There's no relevance between the two points.
There are exact relevance points. It doesn't matter if you have insurance.
There's no
if you
relevance.
Can't afford it.
Terry, you are Mr. Glass half empty. And
no.
Garland is Mr. Glass
I am,
half full.
I am, but there's no relevance between those two points.
If you don't
realize the system is corrupted and the system is systemically
What's
flawed.
What's your answer, Terry?
Your answer is all kinds of things. First, it has to be, and I know you guys agree with
we got to do a Mubarak-style revolution?
I know you
Is that what you want?
This. I know you Yes, we got to do that.
Yeah, if you can stand the helicopter.
You've got to have election campaign reform.
But it ain't happening.
If
you
don't have
that,
you are all just
hiding again. How do you do that without changing the court?
And that's by hitting the streets.
And it's not
by hitting the streets.
Okay.
You got a problem. It's going to make it happen.
So it's not going to happen. So, okay, that's what we need. Okay, that's great. But here's what I can say. What
we
really need is this. But
you're just going to play the game.
No, but I'm going to say. So if you say the answer is something that there's a 99.9% chance it ain't going to happen, then you gotta come up with another answer.
We could have, or food.
Or, go ahead, Terry.
But no. No one ever talks about the obvious answer, and that's third party politics. And I know that's just off. Okay.
I'll tell you what. When we come back from the break, we will talk about third party politics.
Oh, my goodness. No, we don't want to talk about
it. That's what you want to do.
We don't want to talk about it.
Terry, it's your show. You can take it wherever you want to go.
That's right.
That's why we don't want to go.
Let me just encourage people. Many seats open. You can join us at Ben's Next Door, 1213 U Street, and see Garland and Terry
and Perry.
It's hard to tell the difference sometimes, but I think you'll figure it out. Come join us. Come watch the Raucous Caucus. Come join in and have your voice
guest host.
And we'll be right back after this.
WPFW recognizes this day in Black history. Today, February 22nd, in 1967, Adam Clayton Powell Jr., activist and chairman of the House Committee on Education and Labor, was denied his congressional seat amid ethical criticisms and of alleged mismanagement of his committee's budget. Also, on this day in 1989, DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince received the first ever rap Grammy for their hit single, Parents Just Don't Understand.
Parents all the same, no matter time or place. They don't understand that us kids are going to make some mistakes.
WPFW honors African American pioneers and all people who continue the struggle for freedom and justice. Today, February 22nd, WPFW celebrates Black History Month. WPFW, serving the collective need and imagination of the community.
Into the night and back to the Raucous Caucus.
And we are back at the Raucous Caucus. I'm Terry D. Kester. I'm calm with
Garland Nixon.
And Mark Levine, who's more calm than Terry.
And our special guest,
Perry Redd.
Perry Redd, thank you for joining us again. Want to remind our listeners that Perry here is because both he and Barbara Peterson have been supporting WPFW, and as a gift for their support, are here as a guest host with the guest topic, and that's why Mark and Garland and I are basically being quiet.
Perry, how does it feel to be up here in the fray?
I am so humbled. It's like it's like walking in on sacred ground,
or a lion's den
with high heel shoes on. I'm really honored, actually.
Come on in. We're just starting here.
What was that? Perry said it's like walking through hell with gasoline underwear.
Now, Perry, you were saying in the break that because Terry was saying nothing ever changes.
And I beg to differ with Terry D. Kester. And forgive me for doing so.
We do it all the time. Don't worry about it.
Okay, all right.
The D is for demented.
Forgiveness.
Or Doctor of Democracy. Yeah. I knew it was one of the
demented
two.
Demented Democracy. The point is this, that America is changing, okay? Because November 2010 election, and I'll hearken back to remind all the listeners who may have selective amnesia, that the Republicans said it would come to take our country back. Back to what?
Feudalism.
All right. Modernism. Very good. So here we are,
stuff like that,
going so far to the right.
Yep.
But the thing I've learned about Americans is this: they don't act, they don't move until they got their heads busted.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. Until they need more than a band-aid.
We all agree on that.
And so, and for a good example, Wisconsin.
Yep.
Those 80,000 that are organized at the state capitol didn't come out. When it was time for election, they lost the House, the governorship, and now it's major.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. So when you say nothing's changing, it's changing.
Oh,
and it's not changing for the better.
We're in total agreement.
I was protesting last Monday for affordable housing. The House wants to cut subsidized housing.
Yeah.
And we have plenty of need in this city. We have right now, I live in a gentrified city. I was born and raised here. And it's been comfortable to live here, although we've had problems with crime and government and whatever else the case may be. Now, folks cannot afford to live in the city. Just yesterday, a ticket now, the parking meter maid crept up through the alley, turned one of my properties to give my contractor a ticket, and after we debated for 20 minutes, I got it on tape. I'm telling you. I put it on YouTube. The guy says to me, go call my supervisor, because that's the only way you're not going to get this ticket. Then, after we debated a little more, he looked at the ticket and said, oh, wrong license plate. This is the way the city raises money. And it's unaffordable. So,
again, the only thing they're really
the people
good
won't
at.
Change anything until
but Perry, let me
they
ask
get
you
their
this.
Heads
let me ask you this. All right, we all agree we're not in a good place. We can argue about how far we're sliding backwards. We can argue about how much Obama has done. I think he's done some good half measures. They're not full measures, but they're better than zero measures. Terry doesn't think he's done anything. My question for you, Perry, is... we know Terry's answer is take to the streets.
Right.
We know my answer, which is work with the Democratic Party and push them, even though they're imperfect.
Brother, would you say the same thing to the people in Wisconsin?
Yes.
Just work with the parties and don't go to the streets.
The Democrats in Wisconsin are camping out in Rockford, Illinois. They feel so strongly about
it. So, in other words, to the streets. So you believe in going to the streets and not playing these silly games.
But I also believe the Democratic legislators in Wisconsin are standing up for principle.
By running away, as they should.
So they don't get a quorum in the Senate. So let me ask you this, Perry. What is your answer for how to turn things around?
Very good, and thank you for asking. My answer is this. It is a culmination of all of those things. We must mobilize and hit the streets and knock doors down in the state house, in the legislative chambers, and all of that. And I mean, people have to be there. Now, the problem, of course, is that people have to work for a living. And I find that
a lot of them are laid off, unfortunately. Not quite a lot.
More people than organized.
That's not as big a problem as it used to be.
Two, we have to have politicians without a no compromise, I'm the decider attitude. Now, there's folks who vote for them. And the third answer is an alternative system.
Yep.
Of course, third-party politics is unpopular. But the fact of the matter is, and I can't say a parliamentary system is more preferable, But we have to break the money up. And, of course, Citizens United heard it. But we have to run third-party
My problem
candidates.
Is I don't see a path from here to there.
Me
I'm
neither.
Fine with there, and I agree. See here. I agree on here.
How do we get
I
there?
Agree on there. Yeah, I don't see the road.
But if you don't see the road, right. See, that's why it takes the people to rise up to mobilize.
Fine.
Because
I'm not against mobilization.
Nothing else is going to change the road.
Wisconsin is showing us. Listen,
yes.
People are taking to the streets.
Yes.
And they should. And they should. I hope those teachers don't go back to work.
And
let's
Indiana,
have
a,
let's,
the same
let's
thing
show,
is beginning to happen in
let's
Indiana.
Let's show Wisconsin that actually teachers matter.
And you know,
education matters.
And I'll throw this into the 2012 election. I keep saying this. You know, it kind of reminds me of Malcolm X, where he said, you know, when he said Martin Luther King came to Selma and they called him an extremist, and then I showed up and they saw the alternative and he didn't look so bad. Basically, now one of the things that's happening is. The people who sat home on their duff in Wisconsin and said, I'm angry and I'm not going to vote, if the Republicans will demonstrate what's there. I believe that their extreme positions and the things they're doing, they're going to rustle up the crowds. I really believe that they're going to give the because what happens a lot of times is this. The worst thing that a politician can have when they're running is a fuzzy difference between the two candidates. You need a clear delineation.
Yep.
You need to be able to say, that candidate is here, and I am here.
But that's what the Tea Party did,
right,
didn't it?
Right. And I think, yes, and I think the Republican Party
is doing that. I still
think
even the Tea Party was fuzzy. I really do. I think they're like, we want to cut spending, but we're not going to tell you what we're going to cut.
No,
we're against taxes.
No, that's after they got elected. When they were running, there was a clear difference between a Tea Party candidate and aliens on Mars.
Hey.
You knew that these
I wouldn't
folks...
I don't think there was that much difference.
Yeah, no.
Aliens on Mars, I think, is very similar. Very
actually,
similar.
The aliens were far more reasonable.
Yeah.
But you know, the good news
they
here...
They didn't specify what they wanted to cut. They just said, we want to cut spending.
Well, that's because it's not about money.
And
it's an ideological...
People are not intellectual enough.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
It is ideological. The only good news that I see at the horizon, which, again, is hitting the streets, is... So many people did turn out to support Obama, including myself, including probably you guys, you know, did go out.
Probably us. Are you questioning our
flat tire? I don't
credentials?
Know.
Credentials?
Anyway, you know,
run
did,
like a McCain
the,
guy.
Yeah,
you.
Did the leaflets, did the whole bit. Now we are disappointed. On the same time, the Republicans and the Tea Parties are hitting the streets and getting organized. If that those people who mobilized in the previous election, if they mobilized much further... Much more demonstratively, not just for a candidate, but for what we want this country to be.
Well,
if the people really mobilize,
but the issues
for that,
sounded good on both sides of the fence. John McCain had the issues down; he had them wrong, but he had them down. They all sounded good
because we were voting for what Mark and Garland have already pointed out. There isn't that much difference.
No, Terry, you're trying.
And I'll say this.
The rhetoric, it's interesting you said the rhetoric between the right and left is generally the difference between good sound reasons and reasons that sound good. And that's why the people, the left tends to get frustrated with the right and doesn't know how to deal with them and deal with their message because they say things for effect. They're not accurately trying to communicate their beliefs and thoughts.
You know,
they're making statements because
you know,
they want something
to happen. But that is intelligent marketing.
My favorite political scientist is George Lakoff.
I love Lakoff.
And what he says is this, that linguistics wins wars.
Yep.
Okay? And the key to the Republicans being in power right now is framing their issues in sound bites.
Yep.
Dumb it down.
That's right.
For the general populace.
You know, but you can accuse people of that, and you realize that is a good strategy.
I didn't say it was a good strategy.
Yeah, and if the Democrats don't have the guts, the balls, or the brains to use similar strategy, then they do not, frankly, deserve to win.
Let me ask you guys this. Tell me
and,
this.
And we do have, actually, we have some people that want to answer questions.
Anthony doesn't believe.
I don't think Anthony's come to a show without asking at least one question.
Four voices up here are enough.
We need five.
Hello, Anthony.
Thanks for your time, Anthony,
yes,
at AnthonyTalks.com. I think that it's important to realize something very specific. The Democratic Party will go nowhere. The lefts will go absolutely nowhere until they learn to play the game that we're in right now well. Mm-hmm. Our failing is that we're not playing very the game good. That we're in well. And since we're not playing this game well, we're not going to ever have campaign finance reform or any of the other things that will change the game enough so that, you know, the people can actually have some sort of influence with government. So, yeah, mm-hmm. riot, walk, march, scream, mm-hmm. all of that stuff. But, you know, the Democrats have to play the game well. And speaking about playing the game well, the fact that the Democrats, even with the Tea Party and even with these ultra-extremists that we're dealing with, cannot form obvious and distinct differentiations between themselves and the left is troubling. I mean, that's like elementary.
You mean in the right?
I'm sorry, excuse me, in the right. Yeah, it's troubling. I mean, it's so blatant. And the left, I'm sorry, the right is convincing people to vote so far and away against their own interests that it should be elementary. I mean, I could definitely
explain to
people.
But they always do, and they always have.
Well, that's true, and that's exactly where the left, the Democrats in this particular case, is supposed to be able to step up and say, hey, this is ridiculous, and speak truth to power, speak firmly, speak directly, as opposed to all of this mealy-mouthed, ultra-political mm-hmm, foolishness mm-hmm. that they do now. Mm-hmm. That's why it's ineffective, and that's why we're basically stagnating.
Let's hear our guest host response first, before you go
thank
ahead.
Thank you, thank
go.
You. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what?
Thank you, Anthony.
Anthony, you make a good point because I think about Bush 43 and Bush 41. I think about even Nixon. The American public often votes against their own interests. I work to organize a workplace. This is how Sincere 7 started. And all the employees agreed that we're being treated like dirt. This is really crappy. We need to do something. But when it came time to vote for a union, to use that bargaining chip that you have at your disposal, folks said, well, I may get fired. And as soon as they voted against their own interests, forming the union, guess what happened?
They got fired.
The company
they got
fired. Right. So the American people
learned something from the Middle East.
Now, is that discouraging? Yes. Does it piss you off? Absolutely. But it does not give us reason to stop. What you said initially when you first grabbed the mic is that we must learn to play the game the way the opponent does. Now, does it mean I get dirty and stinky like them?
There already is dirty and stinky, and that's the problem. Play the game, what Anthony means is you've got to come out strongly for something like campaign finance reform. Remember when the Republicans, with good old Newt Gingrich, who is probably going to run for president.
I think it'd be a waste of time.
And the whole contract of America. I mean, you know, whether you liked it or not, whether it was a farce or not, it worked. It worked for that election. It got them in. They made the gestures. And they went on. The Democrats have to do something at least that smart in terms of marketing and campaigning. And one of the things they could do is stand up and have the guts to say our system is corrupted by campaign finance.
Okay.
And we as Democrats must make that change.
Well, let me say
and
one
they
thing.
They started though. To do that. Every American's going to understand that.
There's something I got to add to this conversation because one of the problems in American politics is that people get caught up in labels. Okay. Because now when Anthony said the left and the Democrats, mm-hmm. the left and the Democrats, keep in mind, everywhere in the world, politics work left, right, and center. Democrats is a label. Dennis Kucinich is a Democrat, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Zell Miller and Ben Nelson are Democrats. Don't
Ooh,
get
I'm
caught
sorry.
Up in the term Democrat. The left,
I think Zell Miller probably isn't anymore.
Right. The left, you know, that some by name. So when we say the Democratic Party, we forget that there are wings of the Democratic Party.
Right,
there
right.
is a very powerful
Absolutely.
Left-wing element in the Democratic Party.
Was.
However,
well,
however,
was.
The, there still is. There
yeah.
still is.
Yeah.
However,
it,
however,
and...
however, keep this in mind. The power structure in the
yep.
Democratic Party is very, very
the establishment.
Centrist.
The
look, Obama, let me say, I was not in any way, see, everybody here was disappointed by Barack Obama. I'm not disappointed. Disappointment is generally a result of your expectations. I
you
did
didn't
not,
expect anything
no,
from Barack Obama?
I did, no. I understand politics. A politician thinks like this. Barack Obama is thinking like this. What can I get through? That's all he's thinking.
And
what can
fine.
I get through?
That's
I
fine.
Did not.
When you have control of the House, the Senate, and the executive branch,
he didn't,
no.
get
he didn't have control of the Senate.
They
the
filibustered
right.
everything.
No. Well, the right had control of the
listen,
Senate.
Listen, the left had 58 seats, and then they had.
Not enough.
Then they
Wait
had,
a minute.
That, my
Pat
point.
Lieberman.
Get back to my point.
Mm-hmm. 58 was not
left.
No, it's not.
But wait. You got Olympia Snow. Wait,
but keep this in mind. Mm-hmm. Get back to my point. Let's get away from labels. Mm-hmm. The left had about 47 seats.
Is that a whipping?
Ben journey? Nelson is not a left winger. Right or wrong?
Okay. Don't hurt. I agree.
So that's right. What I'm saying.
You're right.
So if you use the term Democrat, they had control of the Senate. If you say left and right, the right had control of the Senate.
But
they
you have the Northeasterners who are Republicans who are
right-wing.
More centrist than the right wing. Well, Olympia
Snow stood with all the Republicans. The right had control of the Senate.
The fact is, which you guys continue to want to ignore, is the corporations of America have control
of the corporations of America have had control over America.
So what's the key? How do you break them up? Do you do a standard oil thing? How do you break
corporations like a Walmart?
I'm fine with that. When you talk about a global economy.
How many presidents do you know who have stood up to corporations? There have
Teddy Roosevelt.
Yes. John Kennedy with the steel industry.
Truman a little bit.
It can be done.
It ain't
what it requires is
Eisenhower.
Leadership.
What is that, twice in 300
years?
200 years? Well, the point is it can be done.
Look, but it ain't likely. I want to respond, though, to something that Anthony said and that you said, Terry, because I think sometimes we focus so much on process. I'm all for a simpler message. I'm all for making things clear where we stand. I'm all for, you know, good play, game play. And I'm for all of that. I'm not against that. But sometimes I think we look at with the micromanaging and we say, you know, John Kerry was long-winded, so he lost the election. If you look at 94, I don't think it was Newt Gingrich. I don't think it was the contract on, excuse me, contract with America. I don't think it was. It was.
You were right the first
time. To quote Bill Clinton, it was the economy, stupid.
As in 2002.
94 had a bad economy, all right? And then by 96, it was good again. Ronald Reagan lost in 82. He had a good economy in 84. Barack Obama lost in 2010, not because people rejected progressive ideas.
That's what the Republicans say.
That's what they say, but they're lying.
Well, of course.
Of course that's what they say.
They wouldn't lie.
Barack Obama inherited the worst depression since the Great Depression.
Do you think they care about that?
Do Republicans care?
No.
Before we think,
all they worry about is that I can't pay for gas.
But Mark's right.
You're right. But that's my point. The general public is not listening to, they want to destroy Social Security and Medicare. They're not listening to the differences that we inside the Beltway are listening to. They're saying, I'm unemployed. I can't pay for gas. I can't afford my kids' education. Barack Obama didn't solve all the nation's problems in 2 years. I'll try the Republicans. Sometimes it is that simple, and that means that if the economy swings back, and I think it is, then to go back to where we started, Barack Obama will win re-election.
To put an exclamation point on that, let me ask you a question, Perry.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that if the unemployment rate was 4.2%, do you think the Republicans would have won all of those seats?
You're asking me to think. Absolutely not.
No. So in reality,
it is the economy.
What? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, sure.
In reality,
it's not their position.
The bottom line is, all things American is economics.
And look what happened. In 2010, the Republicans got the economy was terrible. Mm-hmm. The Republicans got wiped out. The Democrats swept in.
Already, Obama.
Excuse me.
In 2008, two years later,
everything's still bad. The ping pong electorate. Oh boy, they didn't fix it in 2 years. Let's go to them. They wiped the Democrats out, and in come the Republicans. I hate to say this. It's us idiot voters out here who every 2 years it hasn't been fixed fast enough.
Well,
so the answer is
let's get rid of these guys and put those guys in.
That's a little bit unfair. I mean, you could be condescending about the voters, and you know we all tend to be.
I said us idiot voters. I'm an idiot too.
Yeah. But the point is, you've got an economic problem, and again, you have to somehow or other provide leadership, provide inspiration.
It may not be the decider.
Well, wait a minute. We've got some. Let's hear a voice of reason.
We may not like it. We may not like it, but that's what the Republicans achieved.
We have someone here. We got a voice of reason here.
Even if it's nonsense, they achieved it.
One of the reasons why we invite you to come to Ben's next door so you can get
over here, Jim.
Yeah.
Straighten these guys out.
Terry up every now and then. Give us your name, sir.
Yes.
Now, what I'm going to ask you to do, Jim, is take Garland's microphone and Mark's microphone.
Go ahead, Jim. The floor is yours.
Hello, Jim.
Hello. Hello. Good evening.
Speaking to the microphone.
Yeah, hold it close to your mouth.
There you go. So Republicans have done a great job of educating...
Louder.
Republicans have done a great job of educating their base about supply-side economics and
everyone can quote the theories and they understand how it's supposed to work and trickle down and everything. Why can't the left do the same to educate its base about its interests, not make class warfare a dirty word the way the Republicans have made it, so the people can understand that they have a competitive interest in getting somewhere in the economy?
Perry, you know what? That is a wonderful point you make, because I wanted to make sure I got that in before we went off the air. Professor Lackhall speaks specifically in his writing, Don't Think of an Elephant.
Right.
It gives a history lesson of how, with William F. Buckley, the conservatives went to the drawing board, created their think tanks, and began to educate from the ground up and form the foundations and such. I even wanted to ask you all about AM radio. How in the hell did the right take over AM radio? So the fact of the matter is, I believe that money, and I had a good friend of mine, he was the head of the Democratic State Committee in Tennessee, I organized in Tennessee, and I asked him this: why is it we are not on the radio? It is so very important that you reach people where they are.
As someone who's been a frustrated talk radio host for 8 years, I've wondered, George Soros, if you're listening right now, we could use more progressive radio.
Hello.
Very good.
The fact is, Jim brought up the point that we're not educating in the place where the people are. And when I say where the people are, the Republicans understand the NASCAR constituency.
You know, I really want to interject here, and I encourage you to listen tomorrow morning. I'm going to have Randall Ray, an astounding economist, on What's at Stake at 10 a.m.
I'll be there.
You've got to understand the money. I know this sounds simplistic, follow the money, but you've got to understand managed capitalism. What we are going through is not unique. It's not new. It's a pattern that repeats itself time and time and time again because of the way our economic system is structured. And yes, it becomes the economy every so often in terms of elections, but it's because of the way we are structured with managed capitalism.
Blue voters don't have the resources
Of course not. It's not like that. We're Republicans hide their agenda. I mean, the Republican agenda really is very, very simple.
Take it's pro-business. Don't you understand
take
that?
As
it's
much
just
money as
pro-business.
You can from poor and middle-class people and give it all to billionaires.
Right. Exactly.
Every single program they support, you just every single one takes money from working-class people and gives it to billionaires.
That
is their proposal.
The Democrats are guilty because they are compromised, and because they are compromised, they will not stand up to the corporation.
So you think somewhere in this country, on any level, I don't care if it's someone who's the president of a Rotary Club, that you can be a politician and not be compromised?
It's almost not possible because politics is very good.
Anyone who stands up
then
and
it's
says,
the finished compromise.
I'm a socialist.
Bernie Sanders.
Unapologetically.
Yeah, sure.
I won't get anything for
he'll
it.
He'll vote with the Democrats.
I risk re-election every time if they choose to put money up there. Then I'll do it.
Then it's
compromise.
Finished compromise.
Michael wouldn't compromise and he lost.
Long time.
Right.
Not for a long. And why did he lose this time? Because again, the
corporations. He wouldn't compromise.
Because the corporations bought in more money, and as long as
you have to compromise.
As long as we are tied to this economic dominance by the corporations.
But you don't give us a way out, Terry.
There's only one way out, and that's
other than revolution.
Kill people.
What else?
No.
You think the Democrats are going to change the economic system?
I think the Democrats.
You think they're going to constrain the corporations?
They'll write it down.
I think the financial reform bill put us in a better light than we were 2 years ago. Absolutely.
And I think
are
this.
You kidding?
Listen, and I think this.
Do you understand?
I think
you know,
we, to some
no
extent, Terry,
you're not even paying attention.
But
have
we
you
have
heard
to play
of
the hand
structure?
Your ears are turning red, man.
Yeah.
Perry, have you heard of what's going on in the banks in America today?
I know what's
going
on. You know
what's
making massive profits.
What the average bank is doing right now
in
terms of structured investments, picking on elderly people specifically,
to make unwise investments, promising the principal is guaranteed.
Privatizing,
and they've been doing that for 10 years.
Security is the answer for
Let me tell you.
There is no regulation, no supervision that is even slowing this down.
Here's the thing about it.
It has not changed. Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing about it. Actually, and as sad as it is, it actually has changed. You know what the reality is? The reality is, it's not as bad as it used to be. Sadly, study the robber barons. I teach about them. Study the robber barons, and you tell me that when the Jay Goulds and when the Rockefellers and when the Van and the Erie Railroad.
Tell me what they were doing then is worse now because of this.
One, we are technologically more wise than we were then.
Right.
Two, we are much more connected than we were then.
Mm-hmm.
Three, we're much more educated. Just as individuals than we were then.
I would hope so.
And
I fear not.
With that, yeah, hopefully. And the thing is that ignorance is bliss.
Mm-hmm.
When you know, it hurts a whole lot more. And the fact of the matter is, it's worse now than with the robber barons. Even though you hear about
the economic inequality is higher.
Yes, yes.
Now,
the
wealth
worst
disparity is the 20s,
right?
The
but
the
it's not as bad as
it was 100
years ago.
It's not as bad as
it was. That's what
they didn't have an 8-hour work week. I mean, 8-hour day. They didn't have a 5-day work week. They didn't have child labor laws.
Yeah, look, in trouble.
We can always talk about the glass half empty and the glass half full. None of us are disputing each other's facts. The question is, where do we go from here?
Right.
We can complain about the bad things, and we should. But I also think we have to recognize the good things this president has done, even if they're imperfect and incomplete. And I want to look at both sides of that.
Let's start. Lilly Ledbetter. Very good.
Student loans.
Student loans.
Healthcare proposal. Some financial regulation. All right? The children's healthcare. There are a number of things President Obama has done. Now,
many.
And at some point, here's the other
getting
thing.
Getting us started on green energy.
Right. At some point.
But you know the same
but
thing
at some
is,
point, we have to deal with the decisions that we have to make today. We can talk
what
about.
Do we have to we make
can,
today?
Here's what I'm saying. We can talk about all the things that should happen. We can talk about that till the skies come, you know, till the cows come home. Okay. But at some, and what things should be in a way we really need, and if things were better, okay. But at some point, we're going to have to go to the voting booth or sit home. At some point, we're going to have to choose. Am I going to
Which
vote for
Obama?
Which
brings us back to where we started
at some
this
point,
conversation.
Yeah,
that's
so,
good. Because
so here's what I'm saying.
Up. So let's
right.
Perry wrap it up.
Go ahead, Perry.
So
I'm just saying at some point there's decisions to make. And I believe in decisions. I'm always going to look at the two and say, this one is closer to the ideology than that one. And I'm willing to take the best deal I
which
can get rather than
back,
throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Which brings us back to where we started, Garland. The fact of the matter is, come 2012, the base that Obama depended on so greatly will sit on their hands.
I hope not.
Depends on a lot.
I hope not, too.
Don't
get me wrong. I can't stand to think of the alternative. That's what I say about 2008. I could not stand.
The president appoints the Supreme Court. That's all you have to know for why we need a Democratic president.
Guys, I want to thank you. I want to thank
you. We want to thank you, Perry,
for having me here with you all.
For being just as rocket.
I owe it all to Barbara Patterson because she is a longtime WPFW supporter, and she encouraged me. My first time listening to Raucous Caucus, I've been addicted ever since.
And we want to thank Drew behind our boards and David Kelly behind our boards in the studio.
All right.
In the studio.
We want to thank our audience here that came up.
Thank you, audience, for coming out. And look, the week after next,
2 weeks from now, we'll be right back. So you can join right here, March 8th, 1213 U Street.
That's right. So you can be part of the Raucous Caucus every 2 weeks. Just show up, ask a question like we had Anthony and Jim do. And
you've got to show up and help us. My cardiologist says I can't take this with people like Perry.
Anthony's kind of an honorary Raucous Caucus.
Yeah, me, Perry, and Anthony.
And
he's an honorary member, man.
Come next pledge drive, you can give generously the way that Perry Redd did, and you yourself, and Barbara Patterson, and you yourself can join us here in the fray.
Yes.
So few seconds left. How was it? Was it tough?
It was absolutely exhilarating.
Was it hard to get a word
challenging. Oh, my God. Whatever. Was it ever? But it was just so great to listen to great minds just churn away.
So, but Terry was here, too. Terry was here, too. Let's not leave him out.
Thank you. Perry understands. Perry is the man.
Well, Perry Redd, as our first guest host, I want to thank you very much for coming on.
First?
All right.
Oh, yeah. Let's get a big hand. Everyone, a big hand for Perry Redd.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Actually, our second. We had one before. But
yeah, one before.
That's right. He didn't give a topic. He our first to give a topic.
Right. Well, so thanks very thank much. You. That was a great idea, and it makes folks want to give more.
Next
I
week,
know
we're going to be in studio, so you can call us in if you
and
want to.
And we do have many more people who have pledged so that they will be presenting topics. They will be.
And there'll be a lot of
And we're out of here. Look, and we'll be joining you're listening to 89.3 FM WPFW every Tuesday, 7 o'clock. Garland, Mark, Terry, the Raucous Caucus. See you next week.